like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There aren't any announcements tonight. I'm going to save those for next week. But there is an addendum, and it includes three items. The first is with respect to a public notice relative to current vacancies on the Communities in Bloom Committee and the Property Standards Committee. The deadline to apply for either of those is April the 13th, which is a week from Wednesday at 4 p.m. Applications may be completed on the form available on the town's website, www.fortery.ca, under announcements, public notice, vacancies on committees, or you can obtain a copy through the clerk's office. There's also an addendum to agenda item 7.2, which is report PDS 31-2015. Appendix 1 was inadvertently omitted from the report that was originally in our package. That has now been corrected, and it also appears online. And then finally, there's a change in Schedule 6 of report PDS 35-2016. And again, that would also be have been corrected online. So are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest this evening? Being none, there are no public notices other than the one I just referred to, which is part of the addendum. And with respect to public meetings, there is a public meeting this evening, and that's relative to the town-initiated amendment of the Bay Beach parking lot, 4152 Erie Road. We had done a dry run on this a month ago, and we're going to redo it because there was a flaw with respect to the notice. This is a statutory public meeting, and the way we will proceed is the council will hear from staff relative to the proposed amendments to the zoning bylaw. And then if there's anyone who wishes to speak in favor, I will ask them to step forward and address council. And then if anyone wishes to speak in opposition, I will forward as well. If anyone just has questions, they may come at the beginning and just state what their position is or what their questions are. I will ask each person that comes forward to provide us with their full name and address for the record. So, Ms. Dolch, I see that you're there, and I don't know whether you're going to be doing this or yes. Then would you please proceed?
Thank you, Your Worship. Council authorized the initiation of an amendment to the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw 12990 for the lands located at 4152 Erie Road, the Bay Beach parking lot located on the north of Erie Road and on the east side of Eastwood Avenue and the west side of Schooley Road. This amendment was to permit an apartment, street townhouses, and block townhouses in addition to the commercial uses already permitted on the site under the general commercial C2 zone. The zoning bylaw amendment is also proposing site-specific regulations to ensure the future development of the site adheres to the recommendations in the Bay Beach Master Plan. Notification of the April 4, 2016 public meeting was provided in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act by placing a notice in the March 10, 2016 edition of the Times newspaper. In addition, to satisfy the notification requirements for town-initiated amendments, notice of the proposed amendment was posted on the town's website. Notice of the proposed changes were posted on the town's Twitter, Facebook, and blog page. Notice of the public meeting was sent to the Ridgeway, Bridgeburg, and Crystal Beach Business Improvement Associations. Notice of the amendment was advertised on the billboard at the corner of Municipal Center Drive and Garrison Road. And notice of the public meeting was posted at the library branches, the Leisureplex, the museum, and in the town hall atrium. Individual properties within 120 meters were also circulated a copy of the public notice on March 9, 2016. This is a view of the subject area. The subject lands are located in the Crystal Beach neighborhood. The subject property is located on the north side of Erie Road. The surrounding land uses consist of the following. To the north, single detached residential dwellings. To the south, Erie Road and the Bay Beach property. To the west, Eastwood Avenue and the town's municipal parking lot. To the east, Schooley Road and a commercial operation, as well as single detached dwellings. This slide shows the natural heritage features on the site and in the vicinity. The subject property, as illustrated, is within a potential natural heritage corridor. Given that the subject property is within a highly developed area, the property is currently not to contribute in any way as a corridor. The Town of Fort Erie official plan designates the property as a site-specific policy area number 4. This area was subject to a development strategy for Bay Beach. Part 3 of the official plan development strategy relates to the subject lands. Part 3 stated that the lands were for sale for residential use as long as it was subject to a development of a long-term parking solution as approved by council. The town's official plan also identified that any alterations to the above strategy would not require an amendment to the town's official plan, but rather changes could be done in consultation with the public and community focus group. This was done during the Bay Beach master plan process. Extensive consultation was conducted with the public as well as a number of interest groups. Through this consultation, the consultants arrived at a consensus-driven concept, which also considered a parking strategy for the area. The Bay Beach concept is now to replace the existing official plan development strategy moving forward. The Bay Beach master plan concept proposes commercial and residential uses on the subject land, such as a motel, hotel, apartments, and townhouses. The Bay Beach master plan also created urban design guidelines to be implemented as part of the development of the site. The proposed amendment incorporates the visions of these lands into a site-specific zoning. The majority of the property is currently zoned General Commercial C2 Zone, which permits a variety of commercial uses. The proposed rezoning, again, will change the site to a site-specific commercial zone, permitting apartments, street townhouses, and block townhouses in addition to the current commercial uses. This is the apartment concept example for the subject site. This shows how the site may develop given the permitted uses and site-specific provisions proposed. This plan shows a 35-unit apartment complex with surface parking on site. This is just a concept illustration. The site could develop differently. The site-specific amendments are as follows. 0.5 meters from Eastwood Avenue, 0.5 meters from Erie Road, 0.5 meters from Schooley Road. This has been increased since the last public meeting to address residents' concerns as well as to address some of the concerns with stepping back for privacy. We've also included 0 meters for covered and uncovered porches and balconies in this amendment. 7.5 meters proposed from the northerly residential zone. There's 2 of them. 6 meters for the ingress and egress. 1.5 meters from the residential driving lane from the residential zone. 10% landscape coverage. And 0.5 meters from covered parking areas. And again, this has been changed since the first public meeting. Parking is to be behind the main face of the building. And the lot area is to be 40 square meters per unit. Lot coverage, there's no maximum lot coverage. 4 stories is proposed to be permitted. Roof slope of 1 meter in height to every 5 meters in depth, which is a low sloping roof. And on and off site parking is permitted. Also, urban design elements such as porches and balconies were incorporated to be in the front face of the unit at Erie Road. Entry features are required into the building, the main door to be at Erie Road. Windows and doors are to be arranged symmetrically along the front facade. Entry must be raised above grade. Upper level windows should be embedded into the roof slope. Again, as I indicated, it's a low roof slope, so we'll have to use that in the form of dormers. And no planting strips are proposed. There is a little concept example in terms of the residents' concerns on the 0.5 meter setback now, which addressed the previous 0 meter setback. As you can see, the steps are, the units actually step back and the steps are now 0 meters rather than the front face of the building to address those concerns. This is the proposed in-concept. Again, just a concept. It shows a 51-room hotel with parking on site. The proposed amendments are as follows. 0.5 meter again from Eastwood, Erie, and Schooley Road. Again, a change from the original public meeting. 7.5 meters from the northerly residential zone. Four-story building height. 10% landscaped area. Parking behind the front face of the building. Minimum setback from covered parking, 0.5 meters. Again, a change. 6 meter ingress and egress. 3.2 square meters of open-air balconies, and no maximum lot coverage. On and off-street parking is permitted. A roof slope, 1 meter in height for every 5 meter in depth. No parking required for commercial uses. Inns and hotels will be subject to urban similar urban design elements as the apartment, as I just spoke of. And again, 0 meters for covered and uncovered porches, balcony, steps, and patios. This is the slide showing the mixed-use concept, which would be commercial ground floor, residential above. Again, this is just a concept, and the setbacks are the same for the hotel and in-use, except there's one change. Dwelling units can occupy 49% of the ground floor, similar to the C2A zones and other downtown commercial zones, but they can't have it cannot front on the front of the street. It has to be set back behind. Only the entrance can be from the front of the street. And again, that's just a concept of what was provided in the Baby's Master Plan showing the mixed-use concept. This slide shows an illustrative concept for how the site can be developed for townhouses. Again, this is just a concept showing a 12-unit townhouse complex with parking on site and can be developed differently. The amendments are as follows. 0.5 meters from Eastwood, Erie, and Schooley Road, as indicated in the original public meeting. 3 meters from the northerly residential zone. Building height of 3 stories fronting onto Erie Road. Parking behind the front face of the building. 6 meter ingress and egress. Minimum distance between buildings is 6 meters, except 3 meters between end walls and 6 meters between end walls and rear walls. Privacy area, 3 meter depth or open air balconies, depending on the choice. Fronting Eastwood, front yard setback of 4.5 meters to the dwelling, 6 meters to the garage. The minimum setback from a residential zone is 3 meters. The minimum rear yard setback is 7.5 meters. And the building height is 2 stories. The minimum landscape area is 5% for the block townhouses on Erie Road and 30% for the street townhouses on Eastwood Avenue. The site is 60 units per hectare. The lot coverage is 70%. The roof slope, again, is quite low at 1 meter in height to every 5 meters in depth. No planting strips are required. And apartments will be subject to the Bay Beach Urban Design Guidelines, similar to what was described in both the inn concept and the apartment concept. And 0 meters is proposed for covered porches, uncovered porches, balcony steps, and patios along Erie. This is a view of the subject property looking east from Eastwood Avenue. This is a view of the subject property looking west from Schooley Road. And this is a view of the subject property looking north from Erie Road. This concludes my presentation. This is a public meeting to obtain the views and the opinions of the area residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dolch. Before you step away, do any members of council have any questions of Ms. Dolch? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Ms. Dolch. Thank you, Mayor Redekop. If you could go back to slide 8. Wanted to reiterate once more that even though we've gone from 0 meters now to 0.5 meters as the setback, I just wanted to reiterate through you, Ms. Dolch, that the setback is not from the road itself. It's from the lot line.
Through you to the councillor. That is correct. The road width, the actual road allowance width on Erie Road is 20 meters wide, and our actual road width, I believe, is 7.3 meters wide. Again, that's at the remainder is the boulevard area, which is the grass and tree planting area, sidewalks. So that would be from the end of that road allowance width of 20 meters, not from the pavement width.
Okay. I just wanted to underscore that because that seemed to draw the most ire from the last public meeting that we held. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Ms. Dolch. This time I'll ask if there's anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the proposed amendment. Anyone who wishes to speak in opposition or just raise questions with respect to the proposed amendment. Please come forward, Mr. Poole. Could we have your name and address for the record, please?
It's Jim Poole, 3811 Redstock Road. The only question I had is I know it's half a meter now. I understand if you go two stories high, don't you have to be back a little bit farther as you go higher? Don't you have to be back farther from the property line?
Well, this is a site-specific zoning, and it's providing for a specific height. And regardless of the height, it's providing for a 0.5-meter setback from the lot line. And as Councilor Passero had raised and Ms. Dolch had indicated, that's not half a meter from the traveled portion of the road. It's half a meter from the lot line.
I understand that, yeah. So basically, if it's one-story or two-story, it's going to be half a meter back from the from the property line.
That's right. This building, depending on what it is, could be
but that's
four
just the
stories
concept.
High. Beg your pardon?
This is just a concept. The contractor comes along, he wants to have 3 meters back.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. This is the minimum. If the contractor wants to do, or developer wants to do something larger than that, that's fine.
Okay, so now can we talk about the lights?
Lights about which?
Which way?
No, not in this public
that.
Meeting. Nice try.
Are we going to talk about what happened on Thursday, or we're not going to talk about tonight?
Thursday.
You guys had a meeting on Thursday. I listened to my meeting last week. I just was kind of interested in what happened to lights, that's all.
Okay, well, Mr. Poole, this is a public meeting regarding 4152 Erie Road. I know you understand. So
right,
if you have any other questions or comments about this,
no,
I'd
I don't.
Be happy to hear. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address council or speak in opposition to this application, proposed amendment? There being none, then I'm going to declare this public meeting closed. And we're going to move on to the items in the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda package? And could I have a mover for the package, Councillor Zanko? So the package is on the floor. Does anyone have any questions with respect to any of the reports? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCup. Just a comment. I'm extremely excited regarding PDS 32-2016, the South End initiation report for the community focus group selection and subsequent recommendations. It's been a long time coming and excited to get the process going. I encourage any residents from within that neighborhood or across the community who'd like to participate to please submit their names and looking forward to those names coming back for our approval. Thank you.
I think it would be helpful also to point out that although it's referred to as the South End Secondary Neighborhood Secondary Plan, it actually involves the West, what old-timers also know as the West End. So it's everything from essentially Concession Road over to the river between Gilmore Road and goes down to Queen Elizabeth, doesn't it? Yeah. So it's that whole area. So if you live within that area, this will be of interest to you. Any other questions? Ms. Dolch, have you? Oh, sorry, Councillor Liberts, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redick. I've just got a couple of questions on a couple of the items in here. One of them was PDS 30-2016. And on page 2, under the analysis, we seem to get a lot of extensions. And I find it curious when I'm reading the reasons why there's always a reason. For example, here analysis, they're requesting for an extension for an additional year to allow completion of an archaeological assessment of the property, and then the completion of the detailed engineering drawings. And I'm just wondering if staff can let us know, when was the archaeological study requested originally?
That would have been part of the original draft approval, I presume, Ms. Dolch. 2012?
Through you to the counselor, yes, in 2012 it was part of the conditions.
And what has been the problem with getting it done? I mean, to me it would seem like it would be a pretty standard thing. You apply for it and then you have someone go in there and do the archaeological study and then it's done and then you get your report back. Is there any reason for the delay?
Ms. Dolch.
Through you to the counselor. Originally, when they first came for their first extension, the reasoning was the market conditions. The market has now changed. We're back to historical averages that we did in 2006, 2007. So I believe they're coming forward now at this time. They've been working on their engineering studies, but usually they don't proceed with archaeological until it's closer to development stage.
Mr. Luberts?
Yes, I can understand that, but that's the problem that we keep running into is given these extensions. And, I mean, we're requesting that these things be done, and then the developer says, well, the market's not there, so I just won't bother doing it. And I'm just wondering if, you know, we're looking to move things forward, and then for no reason other than market,
I'd say that's a fairly big reason if you're a person who's going to be investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, we have had a number of recent occasions where we have extended for more than a year for plans of subdivision or phases that have been in existence for more than just 4 years. So, and this isn't an area where there hasn't been a lot of activity. I mean, phase one and phase three are currently under construction. This is phase two. So, you know, market conditions are very important for the developers and for the bankers that provide them with the funding that they require.
Well, I don't know if you can say that the market conditions have failed on this property. It's right across the street from the properties that you're saying are doing very well.
There's
phase one, and then it's phase three, and this is phase two. So they skipped phase two and went on to phase three, and the market conditions are great for phase three. I mean, we read the reports that we got from our development reports and building permit reports. The Thunder Bay area is the one that's producing most of the permits. So that's just one question that I have. The second thing is, it was a couple years ago that they came forward with the draft plan, and they asked a lot of questions, and there were some people that came to the meetings and asked the developer to make some changes to some buffers for the residents on Maple Leaf Avenue. And
that would be phase two.
Wasn't that part of all the engineering work that they decided to make the changes on?
Ms. Dolch, do you know anything about that?
Through you to the counselor. That was part of the draft plan approval. So there was two. I think we're getting a little confused. There's Ridgeway by the Lake Phase 3 and Ridgeway Shores Phase 2, which is what we're talking about now. At the time, there was concerns from the residents on Ridgeway Shores Phase 2 regarding the setbacks, which were dealt with as part of the draft plan approval.
Councilor Lewards?
Yes, so wasn't that part of the engineering, the details of the engineering? Wasn't that what that meeting was about, so that they could go back and now bring the details forward?
Ms. Dolch?
Through you to the counselor. I think you're getting confused with Ridgeway by the Lake Phase 3, which has now proceeded to development. And those details, landscape plans, et cetera, were all vetted through those residents on Maple Leaf. Ridgeway Shores didn't have that kind of detail. What they asked for was that there was a protective zoning along the rear yards of the lots that backed onto Maple Leaf Avenue, which was put in place at the time the draft plan of subdivision and zoning went forward.
That was for Ridgeway by the Lake?
Correct.
Yeah, no, this is Ridgeway Shores, because it was a gentleman that lived north of Thunder Bay Road that requested more buffer and some evergreen trees to be planted. Still here as a delegate.
Ms. Dolch?
Through you to the councillor. I do know Ridgeway by the lake, phase three, they did ask for evergreens. There was some discussion on the protective measures along Ridgeway Shores, which were incorporated during the draft plan.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm not talking about Ridgeway Shores. I'm talking about, or Ridgeway by the lake, I'm talking about Ridgeway Shores on the north side of the Thunder Bay Road. Rudd Whiting came in front of council and asked the developer if he would make some changes for the backyards of the people on Maple Leaf on the north side of Thunder Bay Road. And we had discussion about this here subdivision, Ridgeway Shores.
Ms. Dolch, do you have any recollection of that?
Through you to the councillor. Yes, and as I indicated, they committed to doing that additional work. It's not part of the draft plan, but they committed to doing that additional work.
Councillor Lubitz?
And wasn't that all part of going back and then getting all the details, the engineering details, so that they could bring forward their final request?
Ms. Dolch, maybe you could explain what the engineering work is that's required, aside from what Councillor Lubitz is referring to.
So engineering work, what they're looking at is how to service the grading, the drainage, all those things are dealt with through the engineering drawings. There's going to be some streetscape plans, things like that. In terms of landscaping on the rear, that's not part of the engineering drawings normally. Those would be part of landscape plans if you were part of a site plan, which this is not.
Councillor Lubitz.
Okay, thank you very much. So getting back to what the mayor alluded to earlier about investing thousands, if not millions of dollars in subdivisions, this request here, reading this here analysis, is this the last two things that the developer is looking for to complete so then he can bring back the final draft of the plan and then go into the subdivision agreement?
Ms. Dolch.
Through you to the councillor. They have to meet all the conditions of approval. Some of them may include approvals from Bell, Canada Post, a number of things. Where they are with those, I don't know. They feel confident, and that's what they've indicated to us, that they feel confident they can get this done within the year period. I know their engineering drawings should be submitted in the next couple weeks for review. In terms of the other agencies and the clearance letters from those agencies, they're working on them. I don't know how far they are on those.
So, but for the town of Fort Erie, all we're concerned about is the assessment, the archaeological assessment, and the engineering drawings. That's what we're looking at. We have no control over Canada Post and Hydro, and that's their end.
Those are the two explanations as to why they need an extension, but there are other things that the town of Fort Erie would be interested in, stormwater management as an example. We would be interested in, I suppose, the landscaping, the streetscaping, that type of thing. So there'll be a whole list. As you know, there's probably three or four pages of conditions of draft plan approval, some of which they may have already addressed, some of which they may be in the process of addressing. And these two major ones, which they've indicated they need additional time in order to address. Ms. Dolch, do you have anything to add to that?
The only thing I would add is, yes, that they've asked for this year extension. We do know they're ready for submission to us within the next couple of weeks, but they've asked for that year extension because of that archaeological, which does take some time depending on the findings.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Dolch, I had a question with respect to the following report, and that relates to, it's not really a question, somewhat of a comment, on page 3 of report, PDS 31, and on the bottom of page 3, well, just before the analysis section, there's a statement by the author that any analytical assessments are the domain of the reader. Is there a point in time at which the planning staff provides council with some analysis regarding trends in connection with building permits, industrial, residential, commercial, that type of thing?
The planning department does provide some, because it's just basing it on the quarterly report, at the year end they do provide some analysis over the year end, but the quarterly report just provides the values in terms of the trends for that quarter. For the whole year, are you looking for a longer term analysis in terms of the past 5 years kind of analysis? Is that what you're questioning?
I guess I'm questioning this, the statement that was made, and I'm not sure what the context is. Certainly there would be, I guess we could all look at these statistics and draw some conclusions, but we are relying upon analysis by the planning staff with respect to a variety of things, including allocation of human resources to the needs that are arising from the economic activity. Mr. Miller, you're here.
I am here, sir.
So I can, let me criticize you for the statement that you made in the report. Exactly what were you trying to say, other than what appears on the face?
Dear Mr. Mayor, what I'm just simply trying to say is that numbers are often used in different means by different people. Not one true story that can come out of looking at numbers. There are other factors that have weighed in, economies, starts, a number of things that have been talked about, even subdivision activity and developers. So really the statement is just saying that take these are statistical numbers. These are not, these are just facts. How you care to construe them, it would be up to the reader. But analytically, though, we try and talk about the trends. There are comments that are meant to, just give overview opinion of staff. Like we did have a good year this year. For example, the building permits, $72 million, which is more than double last year. But obviously, we've got the high school building permit activity in there and the elementary school. Could be skewing that. So when you look at that, wow, so it's really how all the other little pieces come in and how your industry might want to choose to look at them. Draw a conclusion.
Right. So that's meant to be
honest. I'm putting some anonymity out there and let people adjust and come up with their own conclusions.
You're wanting to make that a cautionary statement?
Yes.
Thank you. I understand that. Now, before you go, you are also the author of the next report, PDS 32.
Sure.
And the one question that I had, you do have the listing of the a schedule of reports and where they're going, where it's anticipated these are going next. Has there been any change in that or any have there been any factors over the last 4 or 5 months that would have altered that listing, which appears at the bottom of page 2? As to where we are and where we're going with respect to secondary plans.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Mayor. No, none to my knowledge. I'm still following this as a progression. Should council wish to alter that, that's a decision of council.
Thank you. And then the other question that I had is you indicated that there are no financial implications, but there in fact are financial implications relative to the cost of performing these secondary plans. I know that you indicated that that's part of the work that you folks do. And that there aren't additional human resources allocated to the planning department for this, but I think it would be helpful, it would be instructional, I think, if we had some understanding of exactly how much time it takes for our staff to complete a secondary plan and what the financial cost of that is in terms of the overall budget, because I know that there's a lot of time that goes into these, there are the public meetings, there is analysis with respect to information that you obtain. There's a lot of background and foundational work that's done before this even goes to the public.
I would generally characterize this as a more or less a year's progression, but that timeline can get protracted. A lot of the timing is also related to cycle or act requirements. You have to advertise, you have to wait a month before you have a meeting and all those types of things. And we like to have lots of consultation. These two open houses for the public, if not more, secondary plans. We've had several. So that type of thing over a period of time, meeting with agencies, meeting with the stakeholder and community focus groups,
It just, I would say that, you know, it's been about a year on average for the plans that I've completed while here, but also the CIP programs or CIP plans that I've implemented as well. So what I'm driving at, and maybe other counselors will have questions, but I guess what I'm driving at is we're trying to get a handle on the work that we're doing and trying to create some type of performance measurements, get an understanding of exactly what is involved in the things that we're doing here. It would be helpful if we understood how much human resources are allocated to doing a secondary plan typically. Obviously, there would be a range. Some would be easier than others, depending on the size, depending on the circumstances. But I think that would be helpful for us to get a handle on that so that we know exactly what is going on and how many time is that goes into this. I also think it would be helpful for the public because otherwise, it's far too easy to assume that these things just kind of happen. But they don't just kind of happen. There's a lot of work that's put into them. So that's really what's in the back of my mind. I don't know if other counselors had any comments on that. Counselor Luberts?
No, I wanted to ask some more questions on some of the other reports there. So I wanted to get back to PDS 31 and a little bit on 32. But
why don't you stay with 32 then, since we're there?
Yeah, just to go on with that,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my iPad to work here. Nothing works when you touch it with a callus. Getting back to page 2 on PDS 32, looking at, and I brought this up at a couple other meetings with the CIPs, and we have in their budget, we allocated more money towards the facade programs and stuff. And the only people that are allowed to apply for it is the areas that have CIPs. And we don't have a CIP in Crystal Beach yet. And so now I see where we're going here with the South End. And we're going to go forward with that secondary plan and CIP. But then the next one on the agenda is Bridgeburg Urban Expansion. And I would hope that the council might consider switching them around because the urban expansion, we already went through urban expansion with the last term of council in Bridgeburg. And now I see that unless this is the same one, but I think it's important that we get all the areas in town up to date with a CIP so that all areas of town can apply for the CIP and the facade grants that are available from the town. So I guess my question is, if we're going to do this urban expansion, can we do urban expansion and the downtown core area CIP for Crystal Beach at the same time?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Councilor Luberts, this is a list that Council has established for me to follow. If Council wants to make modifications to that, they would need to bring this back somehow. As far as the doing them at the same time, the resource, that goes to the resource question. I'm the one doing these things, and it's difficult to back and forth between communities. We typically have focused on one. The protocol and methodology has been to go through the secondary plan process to refine the land uses from our large official plan, looking at those neighborhoods more specifically to define the growth areas, the intensification areas, the medium density areas, those types of things. And then once those things have been established as a plan, an official plan amendment that's adopted by council, those land uses then are better used in determining the extents of the CIP. That's been the methodology and the protocol that I've been following. So establish the land use, then apply the CIP. They are two separate amendments. You can't have a CIP go through with a secondary plan. They have to be two separate amendments. There are two different sections of the Planning Act and separate amendments. So a secondary plan is done first, and then a CIP. As far as
doing them together, and in response to the mayor's question, you know, some sort of work plan outline saying this is what I'm going to be doing, you know, to show how that how these plans will come about, you know, what I intend to get to over the course of the plan's development, you know, milestones, those types of things. That's what you were referring to as being helpful to yourself and the public. That can certainly be generated.
Councillor Lubert, you still have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. So it sounds like it would be better that you just did one at a time, because you, now you're getting into the resources and, you know, staff, and you're going to be cutting yourself short. So maybe this is something that we can bring up at another meeting and discuss maybe making that change, and if we can make that. Because right now you're going to be working with the South End, so you're not going to be doing anything with anything else. So we have time that we can maybe request to make that switch.
The mayor, to Councillor Lubert, that's a discussion that I'm sure that the senior staff will have. You know, we'll take this back and discuss that. But again, like I say, it's council's order established work plans for the secondaries.
Okay, thank you very much. And I just want to get back to PDS 31. Not so much that I have a question. There probably are some questions that I would like to bring up, but since we didn't have Appendix 1 to look at and analyze and read, that's probably where the questions would come up. So I don't have any questions right now, but I just want to know that within the next couple of weeks, if some questions arise, that we can raise those questions once we've looked at the analysis.
For every council meeting, we have inquiries, and you could raise those at the next council meeting or whenever.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Are there any other questions with respect to the consent agenda? Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. If there are none, then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the reports and recommendations? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Planning and Development Services, and Councillor McDermott, I believe you are the new chair. Congratulations. You now get to carry the ball. See how relaxed Councillor Butler is?
I am.
The whole package. Have the chair.
So Planning and Development Services is open. We have no presentations, no delegations. So we'll start out with CDS 08-2016, Short-Term House Rentals Licensing Report. Can I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Passero. Are there any questions or comments? Your Worship.
Thank you. That was a very good report, and I know that we had been waiting to see whether there was any comment from the public relative to this. The alternatives that that are provided leave us exactly where. I wonder who on staff can provide a response to that.
Ms. Dahl?
Through you to the mayor. There's three options that we outlined. So there was the proactive enforcement approach, which is an enforcement campaign. It did require additional staffing. And this was because it would be mainly after work hours when our bylaw enforcement team isn't available, and it would require full-time monitoring. As we moved forward, the second option was the licensing of short-term rentals. Again, this included a number of items that needed to be submitted by the applicant to license. We were kind of following a Niagara on the Lake example in this instance, and what it included was a full-time staff member in the clerk's division in order to accommodate the amount of licensing that would be required, given the number of short-term rentals currently happening within a number of areas, Crystal Beach, along the lake, along the Niagara River. And the third option identified was the educational campaign. The education campaign didn't necessarily require any cost to it, but it did require some staff time work with perhaps the new coordinator of corporate communication, just getting out information to the public on For example, who to call if there's noise complaints, who to call if there's garbage left out, where to leave your garbage, just more of an education campaign. So those are the three options we identified. And really at this point, we've left them up to council just for information, whether you wanted to proceed with one or research all three further. We just left this for your information.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if I might, Mr. Chair, have we received very many complaints to date with respect to these short-term rentals across the community?
Through you, Councillor, to the Mayor. My understanding from bylaw enforcement is we haven't received very many. I know some of the councillors have raised some concerns, but we haven't received very many. Most of them are addressed either through the police or other ways.
Thank you. And then if I can, Mr. Chair, just to put Ms. Dolch completely in the spotlight, do you have a preference of these three options? Are you leaning towards option three?
Ms. Dolch?
That's for you, to the Mayor. As a first step, I would lean towards the third option, only because there's no cost to the municipality, and I would hope that by educating the public, there would be perhaps some improvement by just letting people know what to do in that situation. Obviously, there is some cost in printing brochures and sending them out and things like that, but it may help people understand what can be done. Is there places they can go to drop off their garbage, things like that, to improve the rental situation? So that would be my thoughts.
Thank you.
Councillor Lovitz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to go back on the options, under analysis, first of all, there was a report that they referred to, a review of the effectiveness and implications of municipal licensing of residential apartments. I'm just wondering, is there a link to this report that the councillors could look at so they could review it themselves?
Ms. Schultz?
To the councillor, there's no link online available, but I can send that out or ask the clerk to link it to the agenda if that suits.
Is it possible to get a copy of it?
Through you to the councillor, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And reading what I've got here, you know, I'm glad that Ms. Dolch said that she preferred or was leaning towards option three. And I think that's something that we need to establish, is the data that would take a look at the short-term rentals. Because although we do receive some complaints about, you know, garbage being left out or noise or whatever the case may be, the first thing we need to establish is whether it's a short-term rental unit or if it's a long-term rental unit, because I'm sure that it happens in both places. And so if it's possible for our bylaw department to, if they get complaints about rental units, to try to establish if it's a short-term or long-term rental unit, and then they can put that in their, collect that data, and then bring that back to council at whatever time, or even in their yearly reports that we received earlier. Is that possible that we could do that?
Ms. Dodds?
Through you to the councillor. Yes, it's possible if future complaints come in, they could clarify whether it's long-term or short-term rental if the complainant knows. Otherwise, we'd have to do some research.
Any more comments or questions?
No, thank you very much.
All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carry. Okay, we'll move on to PDS 33-2016, proposed town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment 4152 Erie Road, current Bay Beach parking lot, northeast corner of Erie Road and Eastwood Avenue. Councilor Passero. Comments or questions? Councilor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to go back to the setbacks and Councilor Passero's earlier comments on the fact that there is lots of room on the road for snow removal and stuff. I'm just wondering, is it possible, because this is where the biggest confusion comes, when someone sees that there's a real small setback. And when I read the report, it did say something about with snow removal that when you take the measurements on the street, you can see that there's lots of buffer space for the snow to pile up, so it's not going to be piling right up against the building. And I'm wondering if on our website, when we look at these here, we can have some kind of illustration to show that there's lots of room from the road to the actual property line, and that the 0.05 is not right on top of the road.
Ms. Stoltz?
Through you to the councillor. Sure, we could provide that, and we can update these illustrations for online if that's what you require. That's not a problem. Tonight's the recommendation report, so I don't know if it would... you're looking at it for this report or future reports?
Councilor Lubitz? Actually, I was looking at it for this report, but I guess future reports would help too, right?
Sure, you do the councillor. That's fine. We'll update on the website and provide these concepts out. I will ask our communications individual to send that out on Facebook and Twitter once they're updated, if that helps.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Your Worship?
Just for clarification, so on page 13 of the report, we have a streetscape which shows that there is a road, and then there is landscaping, and there's adequate space between the property line and the road. Is there something further that's required? Councillor Lubberts could...
Ms. Jones?
Page you want?
Page 13 of the report. Streetscape. Yours only goes to 9. Must have the Reader's Digest version. I suppose it could be a little clearer, but
okay, yes, I see what you're talking about there, but so when we're coming from the road, where is the 0.05?
That would be to either the far left or the far right of this streetscape. See, that's the property line as opposed to the traveled portion of the road.
Yeah, so it shows like snow storage area.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, if you look at this, you're right, but it doesn't really show like you see in the back of that tree, like the left of that tree in the building. You see 1.0 meter, then you see 1.5 meter, you see a 3.5 meter. But you don't actually see the 0.05.
Well, that's because if this is a 20-meter road allowance,
yeah,
everything from the left-hand side of that photograph over to the right-hand side of that photograph is road allowance. So the 0.5 meters would start outside the picture, or at least on the edges of the picture going outward. But it may be that a better depiction would be of a...
Yeah, with the building concept,
sure,
so that you can see. It doesn't have to show the whole road. It can just show that this is the boulevard, and then here's where the road starts.
Any further, Councilor Lemons?
No, just a comment. Hopefully, I'm hoping that Council is going to approve this tonight, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with the rest of the master plan, and hopefully we can... make everything move as smoothly as it's moving so far.
Thank you. Anybody else? And we'll call a question. All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Moving on to PDS 34-2016, proposed amendment to Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw number 129-90, Don Couture and Alexis Cartcart, owners Vic Kershey, agent, 329 Brock. A mover? Councilor Zanko, comments or questions? Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just looking at the report itself, I did have some questions, and then at the end of the report, it did kind of answer the questions that I had. And I just want to confirm that if we pass this tonight, this is under the condition that all the fence work will be completed. And once the fence work is completed, then everything moves forward. Is that correct?
Yes.
Through you to the councillor, yes. There's a number of conditions, but that's one of them in terms of the fence work being completed before the bylaws brought forward.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on this one? All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Okay, we'll go on to PDS 35-2016, proposed zoning bylaw amendment and revision to existing draft plan of subdivision Bakersfield. Park Lane Home Builders owner, Upper Canada Consultants agent, Village Creek Phase 3, former Bakersfield. Is that a mover? Councillor Nutt? Comments or questions? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just going back on, this was brought forward to council a couple of weeks ago, and some of the concerns that I had then still exist. We've gone through a zoning bylaw, the amendments to our zoning bylaw. We did some housekeeping with our official plan so that we could have a bylaw that we could enforce, because before we were constantly making amendments to that, to our zoning. And so I think what we need to do is we need to stand behind the housekeeping amendments, and I won't be supporting this here report. If we go forward with allowing the changes to be made, we're right back to where we started before we made the housekeeping amendments to our official plan. So I won't be supporting this report. Thank you.
Councilor Nutt.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to Ms. Dolch. We were given an amended report in the revisions, and it addresses 66 as being deleted, but the report I have in my hand only goes to number 59. And the report that we were provided with our package goes far into the count of 60s. So were all those provisions removed?
What we did with that addendum to the agenda is we removed conditions 17 and 58 through 66, and that's why it modified. The actual revision says and 66, but it was through 66.
Okay.
And what they were was just older conditions from the original Bakersfield, which no longer applied. The consultant gave us a call and was concerned that, we applied those. So we just removed them based on the fact they were based on an old plan of subdivision and didn't no longer applied.
Okay, so I wasn't losing my mind when it said and 66. Yeah. It should have said 58 through 66. Okay.
Sorry about that. We apologize.
You, Mayor?
If I might, Mr. Chair, just for some clarification from Ms. Dolch, when this came before us a month ago, this discussion about existing zonings, some of the changes that we had made, how they impact on this particular plan of subdivision, and cutting to the heart of what Councillor Lubberts has just said in terms of his position. I thought there was some nuance with respect to that, and perhaps Ms. Dolge can clarify, but it seemed to me that some of the changes that were being proposed were for zonings that we have now approved. But I may have gotten this confused with some other plan of subdivision, but I wonder if we can get the rationale for staff's supporting these changes, other than provincial policy and intensification.
Ms. Dolge?
Through you to the mayor. First, I'll address your first point. So with the bylaw, housekeeping bylaw changes that we went through, there was two thoughts in that process, that the R1 and R2 would be solely for more established residential neighborhoods, whereas the R2A would be more new subdivisions. Unfortunately, this subdivision was made application prior to that being approved, so they went with the old R2 standards. If this was submitted today, we would recommend they go for an R2A zone because it is a new subdivision zone, and would have looked at the interfaces between the existing neighborhoods. But other than that, we would have stayed with the R2A zone. In this case, based on the public input from the last meeting, we did make some changes along those interfaces on West Main and Ott Road to decrease the height and the setbacks. And we did not make changes adjacent to the existing subdivision, as we felt they were similar in nature to what's currently existing there.
Worship?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but these changes that are being requested and are being recommended by staff would actually be similar to what a developer would be requesting if it was a new plan of subdivision, or could ask if it was a new plan of subdivision?
Ms. Dolge?
Through you to the mayor, yes. If they came in now, they would propose an R2A zone, and all these provisions would meet all the provisions of the R2A zone.
And those are, and Mr. Chair, I'm going to support this because those are, I'm not a big fan of smaller lots, but I understand the trend, and these are all internal facing lots, and there appears to be a market for it because these houses in these various subdivisions are selling. And so I like the fact that staff is not going along with the extended height that was being requested for the exterior or the lots that back onto exterior parcels. And I think that that's fair and reasonable. And I think that we still maintain the integrity that we're hoping to reach with respect to the amendments that we made to zoning, so that as we go forward, we have specific changes that we've made. They do accommodate, apparently, the size of lots, size of buildings, et cetera, that developers are suggesting there is a market for. And we won't be faced with changing things repeatedly in the future. So I'll support this. And I think it's just a matter of this subdivision having been approved years ago at a time when these new zonings weren't available, and now they are, and there is a market. So I will support it, and I think that we still maintain the integrity of what we've done.
Are there any further questions? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to go a little further on the comments from the mayor, on maybe the Ms. Dolge can explain a little. Page 3. Zoning bylaw 12990, and that shows as of right, and then 6 meters and 4.5 meters. But above that, it says that the property is currently zoned R2 and R2A. So they have R2A zoning, and so the question is, if they have R2A zoning, is the amendments or the changes that they're asking for compliant with the R2A that we have currently?
Ms. Belch?
Through you to the councillor. The R2A zoning actually splits the property in half, and it's actually more where the townhouse units are being proposed, so they needed to modify that zoning. Ideally, as I indicated, if if this was coming in today, we would have recommended an R2A zone for them to apply for an R2A zone with the RM1 zone, so they would meet all the required provisions of the new subdivision zoning.
Well, can't they apply for the R2A zone now?
Through you to the councillor. They could, however, we'd have to start the process from the start. And given the fact that this application was made prior to those changes, we felt it only fair that we continue on recognizing these amendments, given the fact that if they went for an R2A zone, we would support those.
Anything further, Council Members?
Yeah, just to, for an example, maybe I can get a little explanation on this here. Looking at, I guess it would be page 4, let's just look at the maximum height. Maximum building height, residential R2. This is part 1 of the plan, I'm assuming. Right now, our zoning bylaws that we just completed with the housekeeping amendments is 9 meters, 2 stories and 9 meters. Is that correct?
Bills?
Through you to the council, yes, that's correct.
So they're asking us to amend that new housekeeping zoning bylaw for this here subdivision to 2.5 stories and 10.5 meters. So they are asking for us to make a change to what we already just established this year.
Ms. Stoltz?
Through you to the councillor. Actually, no, they didn't. We just provided that for your information as of right. They actually made the application under our old zone provisions of R2, which permitted 2.5 stories and 9 meters at the time.
Councillor Lubitz?
9 meters or 10.5?
Through you to the councillor. 2.5 stories and 9 meters.
But this says 2.5 stories and 10.5 meters.
Stoltz?
Through you to the councillor. That's what they're proposing, yes. 2.5 and 10.5 meters.
So our 2.5 was 9 meters.
Ms. Stoltz?
And now they're asking it to be 2.5 meters, the 2.5 stories to be 10.5 meters.
Through you to the councillor. Yes, they're asking now. It was originally 2.5 stories and 9 meters when they first made their application in December. They wanted to go to 2.5 stories and 10.5 meters. That's correct, by raising 1.5 meters.
Councillor Lubitz?
All right, thank you very much. So I guess the big question is, if we approve this, does that affect all the changes that we made, our housekeeping amendment earlier this year? What I'm trying to avoid here is I'm trying to avoid getting ourselves back in the same position we were before when we started making all these amendments, and then all of a sudden you end up, you really don't have a bylaw. Although you have something on paper, it means nothing because you've set the precedence and you've allowed people to make an amendment to what you have. So are we putting ourselves in that position by approving this tonight?
Ms. Stoltz?
Through you to the councillor. No, I don't feel we are. I actually think we have a better plan here by doing the R2 zones. As you can see in the report, Part 3, which is the internal lots, are being rezoned to an R2A zone, and they meet all the zone requirements. The difference between the R2 and the R2A, in terms of why we originally asked them to do an R2 on the periphery, was because R2 requires a 50-foot lot frontage, whereas an R2A only requires a 40-lot frontage. And at the time, planning staff were of the opinion that the R2 zone should abut those existing residential neighborhoods, and that's why we asked for the R2, unknown at the time that we were looking at these major changes coming forward.
Any further questions?
Okay, thank you very much. I'll keep that in the back of my mind and remind everybody in the future that this is not going to put us in that position again, back in that position. So if something does come forward in the future that we were informed that it's not going to affect the changes that we made earlier this year. Thank you.
Your Worship?
Well, I think it should be stated, in case it's not clear, that although the developer has requested the 2.5 stories, 10.5 meters, that's not being recommended by staff. So when we approve this, we're not approving that type of height increase. It's going to remain as it is. So that I think that's part of why Ms. Dolch is taking the position that she takes. And that's, I find some comfort in that as well. So just because it's asked for by a developer doesn't mean that we have to approve it. And that's one instance where we're not approving it.
Any further questions? I'll call the question. All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Do you have any new business inquiries this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to the business status report. Does anybody have any comments on that? Your Worship?
I just had a question with respect to 21 Wintermute Street zoning bylaw. I know that there have been meetings and there have been some changes to site plans, and I'm wondering what the status of that is and whether it's realistic that we're going to be getting something next week by way of a bylaw. It does say tentative.
Ms. Dolch?
Through you to the mayor. No, it is tentative and it will be pulled from the agenda. We have heard from the applicant some new information, so it won't be coming forward.
Right, but that does seem to be moving forward. Mr. Chair, I think that seems to be moving forward, does it not?
No, not really.
One step forward and...
And two steps back. We just have to keep at it, I guess.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. Very well done. That was an excellent maiden voyage. Scheduling of meetings. Any meetings coming up? Councillor McDermott.
This isn't a meeting, but on April 24th, which is on a Sunday between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m., Bridgeburg will be holding its annual Earth Day. So we will be looking for volunteers to have us come and come down to Jarvis Street and help us out.
Is that the cleanup?
And that's April 24th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And I suspect we'll see you there, Your Worship.
I have no doubt that you will. Any other meetings scheduled?
Thank you, Mayor DeCop. On Wednesday, we have a Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, 10 a.m. at the Douglas Heights building. And if I could also mention a happy birthday to my dad, who will be celebrating his 60th birthday on April 7th this week. My real dad, a lot of people think Councillor McDermott is my dad, but no, this is my dad, Dave, who lives in Burlington. So happy birthday, Dad. We'll see you on the weekend.
It's a great age. I remember it once. Anyone else? Then if there are no other meetings, Councillor Nutt, would you like to move that we adjourn?
Certainly. Thank you, Your Worship. The Council and Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 7:13 p.m. to reconvene on April 11th, Monday at 6 p.m. in the regular Council meeting.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you.